This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's now 7:35 a.m. Monday, the 22nd of August. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Sharad Kutin here with me, taking a look at some of the biggest news in the corporate sector. But first, we look at the wider picture of the economy, and we focus on India, where they have appointed Urjit Patel as the next central bank chief after Governor Raghuram Rajan leaves the post on the 4th of September. So Urjit Patel is currently the deputy governor at the Reserve Bank of India.
I'm just wondering, Melissa, you know, with India, whether governors could say, because if I remember correctly, Rajan hasn't been there that long. And compared to, you know, the kind of Malaysian situation where our governor's...
Are you comparing it to Malaysia?
Yes.
Well, he hasn't been there that long compared to Malaysia, but he has achieved a lot in the time that he's been there. So he's been, you know, the markets call him the rock star governor. So he's the rock star Raghuram Rajan. He's done quite a lot. He's held in high esteem by policymakers, also just by the way he's overhauled the Reserve Bank of India and how they operate.
Is there a term limit on in Indian governors of the Reserve Bank?
Like any post, there's a term. I believe for the Reserve Bank of India, it's a 3-year term, and then you know you extend after that with the agreement of the government and all that.
And so it could have been extended.
It could have been extended, but that was the thing. It was a surprise move, so it really caught markets by surprise when Rajan said that he was going to leave this post. He plans to return to academia, if I'm not mistaken, and you know really shook markets quite a fair bit when he made that announcement. In fact, this is the first time since 1992. That Reserve Bank of India governor has departed after a single 3-year term. I don't know whether the rumours are maybe he didn't get along with Prime Minister Modi's way of the ruling party.
Yeah, I believe also the report suggests that he had spoken up on issues other than monetary policy, and that, of course, had put him at loggerheads with other politicians. But, you know, coming back to his record, the media also notes that he has credited him with arresting the decline of the rupee against the dollar. He brought down the country's inflation rate. All these are part of, you know, his successes in this very short term.
Sorry, rock star. So they call it the rock star.
Okay.
But now him leaving this post, they're calling it the Rexit, the Rajan exit.
The Rajan exit. Oh, my God. We're going to have to live with that for some time.
That's true. However, there is some like a silver lining here, because the fact that Urjit Patel has been elected as the next chief shows in a small way a continuation of Rajan's policies, hopefully. So, you know, I guess in a small way, it shows, okay, so Rajan's, whatever policies that Rajan has had in the past few years, we might see Patel carry that forward.
Yeah, and also I think it probably signals something about the Modi administration as well. So we have an economist from Kotak Mahindra Bank Limited. He says, in fact, that Urjit, will be continuing Rajan's regime, and said that had the government wanted someone more dovish than Mr. Rajan, they would have picked someone else.
So, yeah, someone outside the fold, right?
Right. So in some sense, it does signal that Narendra Modi government is not, averse to having these kind of critical individuals in that position.
But, you know, Sharad, I wonder if investors will have the same buy-in, right? Because India has done so remarkably well in this past year. The stock markets are really strong, seeing a huge recovery. The economy, I mean, India is now the fastest growing economy in the world, faster even than China, right? So it's really been quite a comeback story for India. I wonder if there might be some, investors might be a little shaken by the fact that Rajan will be leaving and a new guy will be taking his place.
And Mr. Patel is very young. He's only 52. And he was appointed deputy governor in 2013 and was the key official responsible for the central bank's shift towards a monetary policy based on consumer inflation. So
50-year-old everywhere will love you for that.
But, you know, what's important, I guess, again, you know, it's a the new person stepping into the shoes of this rock star, comes with his own set of successes and, credited with some of, initiatives.
But
so not bad.
It's like a somewhat similar to the case. I don't know. I see such similarities between Malaysia and Indonesia in the case of the central bank
India.
Chiefs, right? Sorry, India. With the governor stepping down and everyone really kind of worried about what happens next. And then the deputy coming up to take the mantle. With our deputy governor becoming the chief now, I mean, he's really, in the period that he's been in office, kind of showed his teeth, right? He's done a surprise rate cut. He's done several measures in terms of governance. So I guess I wonder whether Mr. Urjit Patel will in fact try to make, to stand out a little bit from Rajan. Maybe he might want to show his teeth and the way he does things as well.
Right. We look forward to that. As long as the markets remain confident that monetary policy, is going to be in the hands of somebody who's going to govern in a professional fashion rather than a political one.
7:41 right now. In the US, Viacom said over the weekend that its chief executive, Philippe Dowman, will resign immediately. Now, this marks a significant victory for the family-controlling shareholder, Sumner Redstone. This is a battle for the $40 billion media empire. Essentially, it's a story of two men disagreeing how to run this multi-billion dollar company.
It's very interesting when capitalist enterprise like this have that family dimension, because all kinds of other dynamics seem to kick in, and they seem to be part of an older world, right? And so this is not merely about shareholders. This is about history as well, and legacy, and individuals carrying on those legacies,
and also disruptive technology, right? So it's essentially a story of old media versus new media. Looking at the share price of Viacom, it's fallen around 50% in the past 2 years because its cable networks, things like MTV and Nickelodeon, in the past few years, that's really just taken a beating in terms of ratings. I mean, I was watching MTV when I was a teenager, and that was the hippest, coolest thing ever. Now, I'm sure a lot of kids will be like, MTV? What? Nickelodeon also is no longer the cool kids' preferred animation choice. So it really is about changing viewer patterns, changing preferences, and whether Viacom can adapt to that.
Right. So the Sumner family didn't actually found Viacom. They acquired it in 1986 for about $3.4 billion when it was in debt, and has had control over Viacom for the last 15 years. So again, still a very interesting story in terms of families. Sometimes you have founder families, and that's a very different, I guess, feel to, because then they do have a sense that this is partly, a family heritage and legacy issue.
There's also a little story about China coming into this. So China wants to buy a stake from Viacom, and this was, kind of a tussle between the two men who didn't agree. And I think it was Dowman who wanted to sell the stake to China. And I wonder whether there's an element of protectionism here, right? To sell a stake in one of the US's biggest media companies to China, what would that mean? Let's take it to a local context. What would it mean if, China wanted to buy out a stake in one of our media conglomerates? Would that raise some red flags?
I think, in fact, we do have regulation that prevents foreign ownership of media, or prevents some level of foreign ownership of media. I don't know if the US has the same. I think concerns about China buying assets. We had recently in Australia, refusal to allow China to buy into
power assets
there. So again, was this a question of, if a single corporate entity decides it doesn't want to sell to somebody, it's quite different from whether the state steps in and says, well, this is in fact a strategic asset that cannot be sold or should not be sold to foreign entities.
7:45 right now. Let me tell you what's coming up after the 8 o'clock news at Breakfast Grill next on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.